Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I went to the most expensive, elitist, snobbish education in India. And I left college and became an unskilled laborer digging wells in the deserts of Rajasthan, and my family never forgave me. But in those 5 years that I spent as a villager, as a laborer, I learned about my own country. I learned about very poor people having tremendous traditional knowledge, skills, and wisdom. And that is when I thought I would start a college only for the poor. And I would redefine professionalism. A professional today, in my mind, is someone who has a combination of competence, confidence, and belief. This is a quotation which I like very much because it reflects the philosophy of the Barefoot College. Where is it written that just because you can't read and write, you cannot become an engineer, you cannot become a designer, you cannot become a communicator? So we went out to prove that this knowledge, skills, and wisdom of very poor people exists. It's just that we ignore it, we look down on it, we don't respect it enough. So we started by showing how it is possible to construct a Barefoot College at $1.50 a square foot using someone who can't read and write today. The college now is the only college in India which is fully solar electrified. And it's been done by a priest in a nearby temple who's only done 8 years of primary schooling. Today, there are 100 kilowatts of panels on the roof, and everything works off the sun. We have a telephone exchange which is solar energized, and we have optical fiber cable. We're already in the 21st century, sometimes it's faster than Delhi. We have a communication, we have a community radio station, which is 50,000 people, and only women are manning that station. We have a solar-operated ATM, so if you happen to have come to the college, you can get. We have a marketing outlet for 500 artisans, and this is all through solar energy. Please remember, we have women who are welding solar cookers. So if you should happen to come to the Barefoot College, you'll get solar cooked food. And we have an educational program. We started in 1975 with only kerosene lamps. Today, we have all solar lanterns. We have about all teachers who are using blackboards. And we have kerosene lamps. That was 1975. Today, over 7,000 children go to these night schools, which are already solar lit, all with solar lanterns. This is what it used to look like in 1975. Today, they have all iPads, all using iPads in rural areas. This is what it used to look like with blackboards today. Now we have a woman who looks at, uses iPads to teach people about how to read and write. These are children who have never been to school in the morning, but they only go to school at night, because in the morning they look after goats and sheep and cattle and domestic chores of the family. In the evening they have time to read and write. So we have about 200 schools where 7,000 children go. Today, all these iPads are solar charged. We have a solar projector, and the projector is used for learning, using as a teaching aid and a learning aid today. So the whole pattern of education in the rural areas where we are working has changed from using pads and teaching them more about their life, about their village. 7,000 children every 3 years have an election. 7,000 children use the vote and elect a prime minister. This is a school with children between 6 and 14. But they elect a prime minister who's between 14 years old. She looks after 20 goats in the morning, but she has a cabinet of Minister for Energy, Minister for Rural Development, Minister for Education, Minister for Water, and all of them are girls, much to the regret of the boys. The boys have to settle for being Speaker of the House. She went and got the World's Children's Prize from the Queen of Sweden 5 years ago. Queen of Sweden couldn't believe that this woman on her left had so much confidence. She turned to me and said, can you ask her where she got her confidence from? So the woman, the Prime Minister, looked at the Queen straight in the eye and said, please tell her I'm the Prime Minister. All our communication in rural areas is through puppetry. This is Joachim Chacha, who's 300 years old. He knows about the gossip of every village, solves my problem. He's my philosopher, guide, doctor, teacher, engineer, lawyer, solves all my problems for me. If I should have a problem in a village, he comes and sorts it out for me. Any tension in the village, he sorts it out for me. All these puppets, you know, we get unsolicited reports from the World Bank, so we convert them into puppets. Over 100,000 people we reach through the puppet shows. We believe that the only way to get to the very poor people is to demystify and decentralize. The centralized system is not working. It's the decentralized system, panel in every house, that will work eventually. So the whole community gets together and says, how much do they pay for kerosene, candles, and diesel? They say about $10. So I said, if we solar electrify a village, are you prepared to pay $10 for the solar? They all agree. Then they have a committee, and they agree to pay $10 once the village is solar electrified. And then they have to select a woman. We have come to the conclusion that men are untrainable. Men are restless. Men are compulsively mobile. Men are ambitious. And they all want a certificate. And the moment you give a man a certificate in a village, he leaves the village within 24 hours looking for a job in a city. That is in Africa, anywhere in the world is the same. So we train only women. And the community has to give us a workshop where we can set up instant repair and maintenance, and the woman has to be trained in Thelonia. This is the first woman to be trained as a barefoot solar engineer in Thelonia. She looks after 30 night schools at night, but she's a solar engineer in the morning, and she installs, fabricates, repairs, and maintains solar panels. So we extended this whole approach of the barefoot model, which is down to earth, which is Gandhian, which is bottom up rather than top down, because we believe that only through bottom up can you change policy. You cannot change policy top down because you haven't involved the community enough. So these women come, and the criteria of choosing the woman is also unique. She has to be illiterate. She has to be a grandmother. She has to have never been to a school and college, and she has to come from a non-electrified village. So all these women, mostly grandmothers, sit across the table and learn how to make charge controllers, how to make inverters, how to fabricate, install, repair, and maintain solar panels. So when we tried that in India, we said, why don't we extend it in Africa? So we went to Africa. Between 2004 and 2015, we have covered almost the whole continent of Africa. This is the light that all the Africans use. Unacceptable today because everyone has a right to clean light. So, and they have to travel 10 kilometers only to get 15 kilos of liters of kerosene. So we said, why don't we go in solar electrified? So 2008, this was what we were doing in 2008. Today, in 2015, we've reached 78 countries. 1,200 villages have been solar electrified by 800 solar grandmothers. They're called solar mamas. All of them sitting in one table, 40 of them from 10 countries every 6 months come, and every grandmother who comes, the government of India pays the airfare and 6 months training costs to come to India. All these women come from 10 countries. They talk to each other, but they don't understand a word because they're all speaking French and Spanish and Jola and Swahili, but The only way they can train them is through their hands. You don't need the written or spoken word. We can make a solar engineer using only your hands, and this woman will. And so the Prime Minister of India said, I want to see these solar mamas. So in 10th of July, he went and saw all of them. He was fascinated. And I'm going to show you a small film. This is a true story about ordinary heroes. This is about very simple rural women in Africa, from Ethiopia to Gambia, from Mauritania to Tanzania, from Sudan to South Africa. A quiet revolution is taking place. Illiterate and semi-literate rural women, most of them grandmothers, who have never left their villages in their lives, are proving the impossible is possible. By their hands-on approach, they are baffling high-powered engineers, universities, donors, development planners, and paper-qualified experts by demonstrating incredible sophisticated technology skills and exposing the fundamental inadequacies of the rigid theoretical formal educational system. Without using the written or spoken word, they have come to India to be trained in 6 months to be solar engineers through the use of the sight and sound, unlike the universities and other urban-based training courses that are all theory and no practice. It is not surprising. These women know more about practical installation, fabrication, repair and maintenance than any paper-qualified, certified solar engineer in any university or engineering college in Africa or India after 5 years. After 6 months in India, using only sign language while training, they know no theories of physics, electronics, mathematics. All the women, sitting together on one table, learn how to assemble charge controllers and inverters, how to establish a rural electronic workshop in small rooms donated by the community, install solar panels on the roofs, connect them to deep cycle batteries. In 2011, the president of Sierra Leone has constructed the first barefoot training center in Contaline in Africa, where now these 12 barefoot women solar engineers will train 150 grandmothers from all over the country. Poor communities in all these countries in Africa have agreed to pay what they now pay for kerosene, candles, wood, torch batteries and diesel. Depending on their economic status, they have agreed to pay between $5 to $10 a month per solar unit. This is a fundamental breakthrough because nothing should be free. 214 solar grandmothers has of today, solar electrified 13,000 houses in 186 villages. The first technically and financially self-sufficient solar electrified villages in the whole continent of Africa, indeed the world. On a rare visit to the Barefoot College, when he also spent the night, His Holiness the Dalai Lama blessed the women solar engineers on the 13th of February 2011.
That's secret. So those illiterate villagers, even grandmother, you see, physically also a little bit old and illiterate. Yet, you see, through training, solar engineer, proud. Self-confidence and dignity. Wonderful.
By 2013, by including Liberia, South Africa, Southern Sudan, Zimbabwe, Burundi, Zanzibar, almost all the countries in the continent of Africa will have been covered, saving 1.5 million liters of kerosene from polluting the environment and thousands of tons of wood from being cut, depleting the already fragile forest. The Indian government has approved the proposal to establish 5 barefoot training centers, solar electrify an additional 11,000 houses in 200 more villages spread over the whole continent of Africa.
Sitting in Tinjamban and there's a light of India. We're very happy tonight because it was very, very dark in Tinjamban before.
There is no question. The barefoot approach is here to stay. What Mahatma Gandhi said comes to mind. First they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you. and then you win. We have the first solar mamas from Cape Verde. Maima. They are going to be coming out in March. They're already in the Barefoot College. And we need to collaborate with you to make sure they are the first woman solar engineers of Cape Verde. Is that correct? So we went to Fiji. We've covered the Pacific Islands. Michelle Bachelet, when she was head of UN Women, was fascinated. She gave us all the support we needed to be able to solar electrify villages in Africa and the Pacific. And today, this is the coverage of the Barefoot model all over. You know, the biggest problem is that it is, everyone thinks that we reached 80 countries and 800 grandmothers and not one failure. We must be a huge organization. Actually, we're a very small organization, but the idea is big. And people have owned it and taken control of the whole idea because it is so simple. So when His Holiness came, he went and saw the Barefoot model, and he said something very, we made a puppet out of him too. And he said something very profound. He said, now that you have shown the Barefoot College working in practice, let's see if the experts and professors can make it work in theory. Not possible. We are breaking every rule, and yet it seems to have an impact. So join us, ladies and gentlemen. Whoever wants to support the Barefoot model, please come. Thank you very much.